echoed through the hills. "Make room for me," as the mountain of Kathkin pushed into the main range of the Drakensberg, and the wagon of the sky had returned pushing into the atmosphere. Their descriptive words faded in the distance when the viewing lens was switched off. I had no fear of the Ulus. Only the white men could harm me for the knowledge in my mind. When I was a child, a prancing Zulu warrior had saved my life by picking me up onto his shoulders on the path of a vicious snake as it rose up to strike at me. The great cobra buried its fangs in his cowhide shield as he flung it to the ground, and he killed it with his assegai, spear of hardwood tipped with iron. Chanting a war song, he ran with me on his shoulder back to the house and into the arms of my mother, whose premonition had sent her out looking for me. My white nanny had scolded me and put me to bed for riding on the shoulders of a black savage. The wind breathing in the swirling mist seemed to penetrate the earth as the long green grass flowed in waves to its touch. The wind of earth, blowing as it has always blown throughout all time. I could sense it howling round the dome of the spaceship in its attempt to gain a foothold on the smooth and shiny surface. Akan moved to the wall on the lee side, and as the door slid open, the wind could not reach within the cabin because it was expelled away by the push of pure air within. Only when we stepped out on the hull could we feel again the blast of Earth's wind against our bodies, ripping at my hair like a live thing, spawned by a wilderness of magnetic imbalance and the vibrations of violent thoughts, pushing its strength against the mountainside in the brute force method of all things on this planet. Taking a breath of the dust-laden atmosphere, I choked and coughed. Akan had his all-in-one suit on, even to covering his head and face with only slits for his eyes, and the slits were covered with an invisible material. I had changed back into the cashmere twin set and tartan kilt with knee-high stockings and walking shoes, and tied a scarf over my head for warmth. "Breathe slowly and not deeply at first," advised Akan. "Always stay in the fresh air and you will adapt again gradually. Although your heart will not retain Earth time rhythm anymore, these tablets will maintain an even rhythm if you take one each year. Your heart is not strong and the effect of the time change will always be felt. Hearts are timepieces for the electrical vibratory rate of each individual within the environment of birth. Is there any way to ensure lasting and natural heart transplants?" "Indeed, yes, by matching a heart with the same time beat, rhythm and vibratory electrical pulse rate, as blood needs to be matched. At the moment I have an electronic timing device attached to my chest to regulate the rhythm of my heartbeat in this changed time field condition, to maintain normal circulatory pressure within this atmosphere. This device is inserted within the suit I am wearing and therefore, enables me to move freely out of my spaceship when landed. We do not perform actual physical heart transplants though, as we have found this to be quite unnecessary and contrary to nature. All we need is this device to control the pulse rate, as the heart is merely a pump that needs to work efficiently all the time. Then why couldn't I have a device to regulate my heartbeat in changed time field conditions?" I said. "My dear one, your heart is unstable and would fly into a wild chicardia unless we take the precautions we have already taken. There is nothing more to be done, nothing is handed to one just on a. For the real things in life, the things that really matter, one must know how to behave and be courageous enough to carry on," I replied, as I felt myself slipping into that dire devastation of aloneness that nothing can ever alleviate. A dreadful sense of abandonment on the soil of a hostile planet. But I checked it before my senses could give full rein to it. "No," I thought, "there is nothing more to be done, but it has all been so worthwhile, so wonderful, no matter what price I must now pay with my health." Akan had told me what to expect and of the suffering to come before I could find peace. "It depends on you, my beloved," he answered my thoughts. "We all achieve spiritual advancement only through dire experience and deprivation. But remember always, my love will be with you for forever and our telepathic link remains on the alpha rhythm between our brains. And our son Ailing will come to fetch you home again. This physical parting is only temporary. Now, you must go back to care for your Earth family." And removing his mask for a moment, he kissed me with a lingering magic. "My beloved, I will always take care of you and watch how you fare, he whispered, putting the stretch mask on again as the wind tore at us. I shall live for you only, and my love for you will give me strength, I softly replied, as the MG appeared from the open hold suspended in a beam of white light and was gently deposited on the dusty track facing uphill. The wide opening in the hull closed silently as I caught a fleeting glimpse of Shiren within, and a last wave of hand and flash of white teeth. Akin stood still and watched as I stepped into TMG and drove her slowly up the track to get out of range of the spaceship. Switching off the ignition, I put on the handbrake. Opening the door I got out and looked back. Akin was gone and the spaceship was scaled. She started to pulsate and glow with an unearthly radiance in the lowering mist, and then she was gone. THC beautiful starship was gone, and my life and my love had gone with her. I drove on up the dusty track over the mountain top. Back to the farmstead nestling in the treks on the north side facing the mountains of the dragon, where a warm welcome and a happy greeting always awaited me, no matter what time of day or night I arrived, no matter how long I had been away, or where. I had come back again, that was enough. My room was always ready with the bed turned down, and old Mutti hovering in the kitchen with a steaming silver pot of tea and fresh honey from the hive, and some of his special whole wheat scones with Jersey butter,